Hey, and thanks for listening. This is Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Let's get started. This is episode 28 of True Voice Media Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard, and today I have Michael Fishbein on the line. Michael, thanks so much for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Thanks a lot for having me, Jeff. My name is Mike. I am a blogger and content marketer and serial self-published author. I've had my articles published on some sites like the Huffington Post, and Entrepreneur, and Business Insider, and produced some video courses and helped businesses with generating traffic and leads through content marketing.
Interesting. Do you find time to sleep in doing all of that?
Every once in a while, I get a bit. Yeah,
it's funny. People who work for themselves, myself included, people ask us that all the time, and I always wonder where we get the motivation to be able to push through and do as many things as we do. And something that stuck out to me, you just said you're a serial self-publisher of books. How many books have you published?
Over a dozen now, 13.
Good Lord. How long are each of these books? I'm curious, as I'm trying to write a book myself.
So they're much shorter than traditional publishers put out. So they actually range. I think the shortest one is only about 10,000 words. The longest one is about 27 or 30. And the average is probably, 17 to 18,000. So that's about 125 pages on average, or even 115 pages.
So I want to start here. I want to start on the book thing because I don't know if you've read it, but I have a blog online called A Day in the Life of Jeff Gibbard. It's at jgibbard.com. And it was probably my favorite thing I've ever done online is to write on this blog. Huge fan of it. I have a pretty loyal readership on it. But I recently shut down the blog while I write my book. And I've been having a hell of a time starting. I've been organizing a lot of pre-existing content and trying to make it work. But how did you decide to start your first book? Like, can you walk me through that? Like, how did you get it over the finish line? How did you even get it started?
Similar to you, actually. So I had been blogging and, getting some feedback on the articles and continuing to refine what I was writing about and the topics I was writing about based on what people really liked. And then eventually, built up a base of content that seemed to be really resonating with my audience, and they seemed to be finding it really valuable. So I started with just an outline, and then I sort of filled it in again with some blog posts, added a lot more context, added some more stories, more detail, all that kind of good stuff. And then I had to dive into the self-publishing process on Amazon. So I used a number of resources online to help me guide myself through that. Fortunately, Amazon's interface is pretty easy to use, just kdp.amazon.com, and they kind of walk you through step by step what you need to do, including getting a cover designed and writing a description and all that good stuff. So I sort of just try to take it step by step. If you try to tackle it all at once, it can seem really intimidating, but I did my best to just do one thing at a time.
So the real key is just to take it one day at a time. Is that it? Is it the age old advice of just taking everything one step at a time?
Yeah, I guess it sort of builds up over time. Like, you're not going to write an entire book in one day, but you might be able to write a blog post in one day, or a chapter in one day, or even just a paragraph or two in one day. And it continues to just build and build, and just gets easier over time.
So a couple things. You said you're a serial self-publisher and you've published 12 different books. Are they all in related topics and genres, or do you kind of bounce all over the place? And is it staying in this kind of content marketing and online business side of things?
It's predominantly in marketing and business, but I've definitely branched out and done a couple that are not directly related. It's probably not the best choice overall, in terms of driving sales, to have just a wide range of things. But I guess I just sort of couldn't help my curiosity and felt like I could, provide some value with different topics. So I went ahead and did that.
So how'd you get into all this stuff? I mean, some people nowadays are getting into the content marketing game and content strategy and consulting and all that stuff because, there's a lot of buzz out there about it. There's plenty of articles that are talking all about content marketing. But how did you get into it?
I never thought I would be as into it as I am. It started just with blogging, just while I had a full-time job at a tech startup in New York, I was just sort of blogging on the side, just for like, you know, sort of personal branding. And like you said, just kind of like everybody's doing it, I figured I should be doing it. It could be a good networking opportunity. But it really grew into a lot more than that. I started, first off, really enjoying it. I enjoyed writing and just publishing and just sharing my thoughts a lot more than I thought I would. And then I started building a little bit of a following. And, and then got into the self-publishing and started making some money even. And it just sort of snowballed from there and got, you know, demand from businesses for them to help me with the same stuff. And it's just really kind of been a snowball. I didn't really even expect it.
So did you start out the blog with the intention of making it a personal branding exercise, or was it the sort of thing where as you got kind of into it, you're like, oh, okay, this kind of helps me define who I am and what I'm interested in, and, you know, I can use this to my advantage?
I thought it would just be just sort of a hobby. Like, there was definitely some things I kind of wanted to write about, and yeah, I had heard about how it can help with sort of networking and personal branding. So those were sort of my interests going in. I really didn't expect it to turn into a business, though.
Okay. So, you know, from that, there's probably a lot of people that would listen and say, well, yeah, I mean, I'm doing a thing now. Maybe I could just start a blog on the side, start to kind of brand myself a little bit, pick something that I'm interested in, and start a business. I mean, is that kind of what you think? Would you say it's good advice for someone that they could do that? Or would you say that it's a little bit more complex than that? Or was there any additional pieces to the story that we've left out? Because I'd imagine you can't just be working at, Procter & Gamble or something like that and start up a blog about fishing and then use that to catapult a consulting company. Or is it that simple?
You can definitely start on the side while you're working full time. And that's probably a great way to do it. In terms of topics, I guess you should really think about, what your goals are. Are you looking to, you know, have it be a standalone business, like a small media property, or ebooks, or run advertisements? Or are you looking to display your expertise and use it to sell, like you said, consulting services, or even to, you know, get a bigger, more high-paying job on the side? So, you know, if it was the latter, then I'm not sure writing about fishing would be super beneficial, but if it was the former, then that's definitely sounds like an option.
How do you work with people and help them in this? I mean, you did it yourself. You kind of did it on the side. You kind of fell into it. You found this voice. You decided that you really liked it. You liked the video publishing. You liked the books. You do all these different things, but you kind of fell into it, found that it resonated with you. How do you methodically walk people through the process of finding what that expertise is that they have, or building that brand of themselves online? What's your process look like?
I know a lot of people feel like maybe they don't have anything that they're, you know, should be writing about, or they're not an expert, or they're not the best, or anything like that. But almost everybody I find that is telling me that does indeed have something that they can provide value for. So there's a few good starting points. One is just to think about questions that you commonly get asked by friends or coworkers or anybody else. Those things that you're the go-to person for. And when you get those questions, it's an indication that somebody has demand for that kind of information. So if you can answer it via blog post, that's going to provide value. And providing value, of course, is one of the most essential components of any content marketing strategy, regardless of what channel you're using or what medium you're using. Providing value is just the key to all of it. So, you know, figuring out what problems people have and how you can help them is a really good starting point.
So I guess my question for that, and kind of the pushback that I'm going to give you on it, just in terms of, you know, for the sake of the conversation, for you to kind of dig a little deeper into this, the web is not lacking in content. There's not like a scarcity of ideas and value and things that are out there, and there's certainly plenty of noise that's out there. It's just complete garbage. But what sort of giving this advice that people become publishers, that become content producers, they start providing value and they do these things, what's to stop them from just becoming part of the noise? How do you, as we look at more and more of the content that's coming out there and the there's no more attention than there used to be, and there's a bazillion options for every person that's out there, you know, content marketing, social media marketing, or even, you know, things outside of those industries. How do you get people to stand out amidst the noise when the competitive environment is becoming so much more competitive and so much more saturated with voices?
Yeah, it definitely is getting super competitive out there. So I'll give a few things that I think have worked well for me and clients. One is finding your platform or your medium of publication where you can be competitive, where you can outstand the competition. Finding channels where the sort of supply and demand dynamics are favorable to you. So where there's a lot of your target audience, or your target customers actively consuming content, and where there's relatively few producers of content. So, you know, blogging has been around for a very long time. A lot of people are trying to rank on Google, and you can certainly still do that in some niches, but it can be very hard and take a very long time. But there are new channels and new platforms popping up all the time. And in some of them, there aren't that many producers on there yet. So if you can get there early, you can have a real advantage. And, you know, podcasting is one of them, like this show here. YouTube is, you know, that's another one, even though it's getting to be saturated as well. And then, you know, even smaller ones like, you know, Periscope and some of these even, you know, very young places that have an opportunity to publish. So and then guest blogging. So even blogging, but just doing it on other people's site is another great way to just get right in front of your audience. So I think finding the places where you need to publish instead of just publishing on your own blog, and then just really going above and beyond in terms of providing value. So not just doing just a few tips for content marketing, but really getting deep into one specific area of content marketing and just providing more value, more stories, more examples, and more detail. And that stuff, I think, you know, just gets a lot better results.
So a couple things that makes me think of, and the first is, you know, you mentioned Periscope, and obviously we need to look at things like Snapchat, and we need to look at things like, you know, Yik Yak and all of these bazillion other platforms that come out every day. The first question is, one, what's the starting point for somebody that you're working with to help them even find that audience? So this is somebody who may not even know what their expertise is. Let's say you're able to actually get them to figure out what they know about or what they're interested in becoming an expert on. The next step is, well, where is their audience? And how do you go about instructing them to go through and figure that out? I mean, how do you find out if your audience is on Snapchat other than some big data sources? What are some of your starting points to help people figure out where they're supposed to be?
Yeah, I do a few things. One is like dead simple and sort of old-fashioned sounding, but actually just talking to customers. I think in the digital marketing world, everybody wants to be online behind a computer and just, you know, producing content. But I still think getting a deep understanding of your audience and your customers is crucial to just about any business, online or offline. So I'm always trying to, you know, field questions from my audience, get on calls with my audience. You know, even sometimes meet in person, go to events where they're going to be there, and just listen to what their problems are and what they need. And as regards to the question you asked, where they're consuming information. So, you know, I'll ask them what blogs they read. I'll ask them what kind of content they like to consume. I'll ask them all those kinds of things. I'll also, you know, go ahead and just do qualitative research on these platforms. So I'll go onto YouTube and I'll search for phishing or whatever that area of expertise is, and see how many views these videos on the topics are getting viewed, and how many people are producing videos on those platforms, and see, and try to get a sense just qualitatively of what the supply and demand dynamics are. And lastly, I just like to try and see. So it's easy to get stuck in analysis paralysis, especially for some of the more analytical marketers. But a lot of times I just like to, you know, put out a few pieces of content on a given platform if I think there's even a chance that my audience might be there. Just see what kind of results I get, and then, you know, either double down or cut it off.
So the other question that I would have for you, and I think that's all fair points, you know, there's the qualitative, there's the quantitative, and to a certain extent there's a little bit of trial and error. Which is, you know, to be expected. We do the same sort of things. And I think there's a lot of companies out there that are going to want the simple answer, but the simple answer is actually you probably just have to do the work. But the second thing that I would question about the strategy of, you know, trying these new platforms, you know, something like a Periscope or something like a Snapchat, which is that they are exceptionally new. What's to say that all of that effort isn't for waste because maybe these platforms wind up going out or dying? You know, you look at something like, not that this was necessarily a particularly good channel for marketing, but Secret. You know, Secret came out and all of a sudden anonymity was a big deal. And then, you know, cut a year and a half later, the platform's dead. MySpace was big at one point. And then at some point, it just kind of fizzled out and it stopped being important. How do you respond to something like that, where there's a possibility that you could put in all of this effort towards building a platform on a particular network, and then it could sunset?
Yeah, so, you know, I definitely wouldn't want to be all in on any given platform, especially not one that's very new. Like, I think even at this stage as of this conversation, Periscope is like a relatively new channel. Snapchat maybe a little bit older, but still relatively new. So I wouldn't want to be all in on one of those platforms, but it may be worth, you know, taking a chance and allocating a certain percentage of the budget or a certain percentage of the time to sort of testing out those channels. But I guess, you know, I always want to be sort of diversified and, you know, always have like a foundational channel, for a lot of people, that's a blog. Maybe for a few other people's, it might be YouTube, which is, you know, still a pretty established channel.
So what sort of stuff do you do online? I mean, I know that you're blogging and you have ebooks and your blog is fantastic, you know, from the posts that I've been able to have a chance to read. But what other sort of channels are you really excited about right now for yourself? And are there any that you see that there's a really strong opportunity coming out?
I guess lately, yeah. I mean, I'm sort of obsessed with all these channels and I'm always checking them out. I guess lately I've really been interested in Medium. It was created by the founders of Twitter and Blogger. And it's basically, it's a publishing platform, but it's interesting. It's for a lot of like longer form and more personal content. And the design on there is just impeccable. And so I'm starting to learn how to sort of use the platform in order to get the most amount of exposure. And it seems to be a very focused audience that gets really engaged with the content. So, you know, I think if your audience is on Medium, that could be a super valuable channel for you. And there are a ton. I mean, podcasts are definitely huge. You know, I guess those come to mind.
Okay. Fair points. So, you know, outside of the content marketing realm, are there any other things that you're advising clients on that are currently happening? I mean, the world of technology is changing. We're seeing marketing automation. We're seeing automation in all these other senses, things like If This Then That and Zapier. You know, we've got the collaborative economy and all of the impact that that's probably going to make. There's home automation, robotics, wearables. You know, are you getting involved in any of those, or are you really strictly trying to focus your clients on how they can use content marketing to capture an audience's attention and drive leads?
There's definitely, yeah, I mean, that's definitely the focus, but there certainly are some trends. I mean, one thing that's, I think, is crucial for business, but also for content as well, is just having a strong connection with users. You know, it's one thing that's hard to sort of automate, but at the same time, some, you know, a lot of new tools and methodologies are coming out that are sort of putting a science into product development and product marketing. And so, you know, really having a close connection and getting a lot of close feedback from users at basically all stages of development, I think, is something that I've sort of hopped on the bandwagon with.
Okay, fair. So, you know, what sort of clients are you working with? And within that, sort of as a very close secondary point, in your experience of working with different clients and helping them with their content marketing, who are you seeing industry-wise, company-wise, either in your own experience of companies you're working with or just things through your own research, who are you seeing that's doing it really well out there? Because I think there's so many blogs giving advice and there's so many different tactics that are getting, you know, getting exposure. You know, we see that there are certain times of day that you're supposed to be tweeting or Facebooking in aggregate. And, you know, there's just so much information out there. In your experience and the things that you're doing, who are you seeing that's really something to look at as carrying the torch for doing it right?
I think the companies that I really like their strategy and they seem to be getting the best results, they really treat their content like it's its own business. It's almost like the content they're producing looks like, feels like, and very well could be its very own standalone media business. So the marketing team seems like they're the, you know, they're like the CEOs of the blog. They're like, you know, the founders of, you know, so-and-so company media. And so, you know, like a client I'm working with, there's a full-time, you know, full-time marketing person. It's not just consultants or agencies. And that person is just dedicated to finding market opportunities, finding the right channels to distribute on and produce on, finding the right content topics according to what, you know, what our audiences need. And then we treat, you know, each of those channels like individual businesses, each of which have their own manager, their own chief manager. So we have podcasts, we have the blog. And they're each almost operating like their own individual entities. And so it's not really just about the structure. It's about the mindset of treating it like we're going to have content that is so good that this could be its own business. And I think that's what really gets the results. And other companies like Buffer, Moz, and HubSpot, of course, are doing a great job. How About We is another great one. So, yeah, I think some of these tech companies that are coming out are sort of seeing the results that they can really give from their peers and are really going after it.
So just from what you just said, it sounds a lot like you're working with medium or larger businesses because, you know, to be able to treat individual platforms as its own business is a luxury that you can really only afford if you're not the chief cook and bottle washer. So, you know, am I right in that that's who you're working with? Because it sounds to me this would be very difficult for a small business that's already, you know, doing everything they can to keep the lights on and keep people, you know, coming through the door or signing contracts or whatever it is. It's got to be difficult to pay that much attention to something when you've got to spend so much time working on getting business in the door.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not huge companies, funded startups, you know, funded startups, so small to medium size. It is one of those hard things where you know, and I see a lot of CEOs and founders doing this, you know, they just don't directly understand the value of it. And sometimes it can take a while to pay off, and especially when you have a million other responsibilities, like you said, from, you know, your, you know, the cook, you know, the chef and everything
chief
else.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
Chief cook and bottle washer, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a great term, isn't it?
Yeah. So it can be hard to pull off time to focus on content, but if you do, it can definitely pay dividends over time.
Well, how do you make that case? How do you convince the small business owner, the person that doesn't have very much time? How do you get them to see the value in setting aside even, you know, an hour a week for content? I mean, we have our methods where we don't really take that crap from certain clients, and we make sure to make sure that they get content out, and we build systems around them. But what are some of your best practices for, one, communicating that, and then, two, managing somebody who actually does have very little time?
Well, it sounds like I like your system a lot, but what I do is I just try to talk about the results and just show the results and the results I've gotten with my clients and with myself. You know, for example, just like a B2B company selling software to large companies, and, you know, there's a pretty clear ROI. You bring in leads and a percentage of those convert, and they spend a lot of money on the software, and it's, you know, it's for the content, and we may not have been able to reach those audiences otherwise. So I think just speaking in terms of, you know, traffic, leads, conversions, sales, and, you know, the metrics they really care about helps.
Do you have any experience working with companies in highly regulated industries? We tend to work a lot with highly regulated industries, you know, healthcare, finance, law, and, you know, circumstances are a little bit different for what they're working on, mainly because you sometimes have to deal with compliance. Do you have any experience working in that?
I'm actually probably not the best one to answer that. Maybe I should pass on that one.
Okay, cool. Just curious if you had any experience in that space. So, you know, you've been doing this for, what, 4 or 5 years now exclusively? You know, obviously a little bit on the side before that.
Yep.
So for any of we have a lot of listeners that, you know, our kind of audience is a little bit of professionals in the social media industry. We have people that are small business owners, and we probably have a couple people that have an entrepreneurial fire that are burning in them. What are some of the best things that you can offer to them as advice or learnings or things that you've had as you went from, you know, working the corporate job, doing this on the side, and then starting your own thing to doing this business that you really enjoy? What are some of the best learnings you can give them about the early days and how to get into this and kind of mistakes to avoid?
One thing that was definitely beneficial to me was just finding the time in my day to just be able to write. So, you know, for me, written content is crucial for me. So writing is absolutely a core competency, and that'll be the case probably for a lot of content marketers. So, and like you said, everybody has different responsibilities. So I think just finding the time within your day where you can dedicate to writing. So for me now, it's early in the morning, 7:15, 7:30. I'm writing. I'm working on a post. Before it was, nights or weekends whenever I could. So, and it's going to be different for everybody. But I think just finding that time in your day, whether it's before work, after, or on the weekends, where you can really excel, I think that's crucial. And then just getting obsessed with helping your audience and just getting, just really focusing on what their problems are and how you can provide value to them, and then and just getting started with it, putting stuff out there and seeing what results you get and iterating accordingly.
Fair. So I know that we're both of us busy individuals, and I want to be respectful of your time. We've gone for a little over 23 minutes right now, but I want to ask you a few more questions before I let you go, if that's cool with you.
Sure.
All right, cool. So one of the things that we get a lot of when we're talking with prospects and sometimes even with clients is the old, well, this doesn't apply to me. You know, this isn't right for our business. We understand that, content marketing is important, but it's not really for us. Do you think that there are businesses out there that can't benefit from getting involved in content marketing as a way to drive leads and sales? I mean, obviously they have to be able to drive leads and sales for that to be a benefit of them. But I mean, are there any businesses where you see content being not something helpful or something that won't move their business forward?
I've seen so many different ways that content can help. I mean, everything from sales enablement. So we have a client where the sales team is just sending out content to the leads and prospects, and even when they're just sending cold emails, and they're loving it, and it's getting great feedback. So it's really brightening up those conversations. We're publishing content under account managers' names, so we're building the brands of account managers. So clients get excited about being able to work with the given account manager because they look like an expert by publishing content. More directly, we've generated a lot of really qualified leads and email subscribers that we're able to hand off to the sales team to convert into sales. So, there's just a lot of different areas of business that it can help. And it seems like almost every kind of business model could benefit in at least some way.
Yeah, one of the things that we often say is, it's not a question of if, it's a question of how. So the example I always give is like a dry cleaner. Nobody really cares about seeing their dry cleaner on Facebook. There's only so many times that you can, post about how to get a wine stain out or something like that. But, the fact is they still need to be cognizant of what their Yelp reviews are. They need to figure out if their website is mobile optimized and their services are listed on their website. So they need to pay attention to mobile. So we often give examples like that where it's like, it's not a question of if, it's a question of how. And how you use it might just be, minimal, but there's always going to be an opportunity, I think.
That's a really great point. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So final question, I always like to ask this one, and it's kind of it's the question that I like to ask because sometimes it actually exposes me to something that I'm not really paying attention to. And I'd say the thing that I'm most curious about with any of my guests is often, what are you most excited about right now? What's the thing you're seeing out in the world that's just kind of blowing your mind about what's happening out there? Something that you're excited about what it might develop into. It could go one way or the other, or, just anything that you're seeing that you're really, really excited about.
I am excited about some people who are going just way above and beyond with the content that they're producing. So they're going beyond, like, here's 5 tips for X, and they're giving like really detailed tutorials of how to do really advanced things. So, in the marketing world, it's people like Backlinko, where he's giving like the exact steps he took to, do very specific business objectives and shows you exactly how to do it. And, it's clear that he's spending weeks and weeks, if not months, on individual posts. And he seems to just be getting tremendous results. So instead of like the high frequency, he's going super high quality. So I'm interested to see that. And then sort of on the other end of the spectrum, seeing people like James Altucher, who is just writing like really deeply personal stories about himself. and maybe giving like one or two pieces of advice that are sort of conclusions from the stories. I'm loving this idea of just doing really personal stuff, and I've been trying to do more of that myself, and it's kind of scary. So I'm curious to see how that's gonna play out.
Cool, man. You should definitely check out my Day in the Life blog. That's kind of what it's been from the beginning. Is, you know, here's my journey as an entrepreneur, and here's the stuff that terrifies me, and here's what I learned today. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little soapboxy, but you know, ultimately it's very real, and it's very, you know, from the heart of things that I've learned. So you should definitely check that out. You might like it. I just had one more thought. It was just in my head. Come on, Jeff, where is it? Crap, I just forgot it. I had a really good question for you, and then it just floated out of my mind as I was talking about the Day in the Life blog. Yeah, these things happen. Well, Mike, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, sharing a little bit about what you're doing in content marketing, what you're excited about, and I would encourage anybody listening to go and check out Michael's blog. I'm going to post a link to it in the show notes so you can check it out, learn more about what he's doing. And, you know, if you're in New York and you're looking for, and I'm sure you service outside of New York, but if you're looking for somebody to help you with some content marketing, Mike's one of those guys that clearly knows what he's doing. So thanks so much for being on the show, sharing some of your ideas with us. You know, hopefully we can stay in touch and maybe do a follow-up show at some point later on.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. So last question, where can people go to be social with you and connect with you, learn more about what you're doing? I'll be sure to put all of this in the show notes, but give people a glimpse of where they can catch you online.
Sure. My personal blog is just mfishbine.com, and then I'm on Twitter, which is my most active social channel, at mfishbine.
All right. Awesome. So for all of you out there listening, again, thank you for listening. Please drop by iTunes and give us a rating, or go on Stitcher and tell us how great we are. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Conversations. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Conversations. Be sure to go over to iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show, what you hate about the show. And we hope you come back for our next episode. Take care.